From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the first day of September 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. The state statisticians from Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, and Missouri today will join us to discuss crop conditions in their area. We'll talk about the weather forecast with Don Day at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. And if you're a fan of magic, we have something special for you. And then as we close out our time together, Harry Cooney will be here. He's with GrowMark in Bloomington, Illinois, and will help us take a look at the agricultural energies. And it all happens on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Corn futures finished higher for the day. September up a penny at 349.5. December 358, a quarter higher. And March up a quarter at 367.75. Next year's July at 378.5, a half cent higher. Soybeans in the November a penny and a quarter higher at 954.75. January at 961, up 1.25 cents. And March futures 961.75, two higher. The bean oil up 16 cents. Bean meal for the day, $1.80 lower at 302.80. Wheat futures July soft red at 572.5, up 8 cents on the day. And the hard red July contract finish at 508.5, up 8.25. Live cattle futures in the October at 105.47.5, up 17.5 cents. Feeders were down 17.5 in the September and October lean hogs, $1.42.5 higher for the day. We're now joined by Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Wayne, the StoneX numbers released yesterday, that's FC Stone, had a big impact on the market overnight, but it sure came back. Tell me about it, please.
Well, I think, Todd, that those numbers were bigger than everybody was looking for. Everybody's been hearing how bad Iowa was, how bad parts of Illinois were, how dry it's been, how the flash drought is really affecting things tremendously hard here. And their numbers come in a little higher than everybody was expecting. And then along with that, you know, as we look at things, they have been pretty reliable over the years, being pretty close to the end production numbers. So it sort of put a kink in things. And, you know, we sold off after sort of the poor close yesterday. And then as I reassessed and looked at things, looked at Michael Cordner's numbers, only being down 2 bushels in corn and about 1 bushel in the beans, and that way why they sort of reassessed and the markets bounced back through the day-to-day and basically closed very close to unchanged.
Yeah, so just to go through the StoneX numbers really quickly, nationally they say yield at 179.6 for corn, soybeans at 52.6. They put the Iowa yield at 192, the Illinois yield at 204, Indiana 190, South Dakota, which is supposed to be really good, at 165. So that's just a quick look at some of those numbers. That dropped the marketplace, and it bottomed out and came back. It just apparently did not believe it. Did farmers take advantage, and or should they have taken advantage, or still, if they haven't, of the rally in this marketplace, especially for soybeans?
I think that we did see some pricing here over the last couple of days. People were willing to do that, and also maybe some buying of puts by some of the farmers looking out here and saying, hey, I don't want to put a top on things in case this China or purchases continue on, but I do want to stick bottom under this. You know, just wasn't that long ago we were looking at $9 as a wish number here, you know, and here we are at 953. 954.75 today on the close, and you know that's 50 cents better than we were. And there are some lot of people put 920 to 940 puts on, Todd, and I think that that's not a bad idea.
And the Chinese do continue to be buyers of U.S. corn.
They do. You know, we had an announcement of China purchaser and an unknown purchaser again today, and it does keep working in there. You know, in our area over here, Cargill's 30 over for corn right now, and there's Tate and Lyles made comments that they would push their bid a little bit if somebody wanted to go to the field a little early if they had some early corn, because they're running short of some that way. And we heard that Lawhoff basically shut down over the weekend because they weren't buying corn. So there's tightness of corn in certain areas, and other areas there's plenty.
What are your expectations for the next week or so?
Oh, I think we're going to be watching very closely if and how much, if any, rain occurs in the real drought-stricken areas that might give us a little bushel or two pop back up from what they think the yield could be. I think we're going to be watching China very closely to see if they continue to make that. And as we get a little closer to their crop report this month, we're going to be looking a lot more at any possible yields coming in. You know, we know there was some damage done down in Louisiana, flattening a lot of stuff, and they really decreased in the crop ratings there yesterday because of that. And I think they'll be very interested to see if there's any actual harvest down there and look at their numbers.
Yeah, the World Agricultural Supply and Demand estimates are due out a week from this coming Friday. Anything else before I let you go for the day?
I think that's about it for today. Like I said, Todd, pretty quiet except for Stone and Cordonnier.
All right. Thanks so much. That's Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It showed 94% of the crop had entered the dough stage. 89% is the rolling five-year average. 63% of the crop is in the dent stage. 56% is the five-year average. 10% is the five-year average for mature corn at this week, and it's now 12% mature. The crop is in 48% good and 14% excellent condition. That's down from 49% good and 15% last week. Soybean setting pods at 95% are just behind the rolling five-year average of 93%. 8% of the soybeans have dropped their leaves, and that's right on target with the five-year average. The condition of the crop, 53% good, 13% excellent, is off from the 55% good and 14% excellent ratings from last week. Now, here are updates from the statisticians across the Midwest.
This is Melissa Couch, agricultural statistician for the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service. Drought conditions and rapidly drying crops are now a concern for most of the state. Field activities included harvesting hay, chopping corn silage, and harvesting seed corn. Some farmers have been cleared to mow or disc in their corn damage by the derecho. Topsoil moisture condition rated 41% very short, 40% short, 19% adequate, and 0% surplus. The state's topsoil moisture condition deteriorated to 81% short to very short. Subsoil moisture condition rated 37% very short, 40% short, 23% adequate, and 0% surplus. The state's subsoil moisture condition dropped to over 3/4 short to very short. Corn was 95% in the dough stage or beyond, over 2 weeks ahead of the previous year and 6 days ahead of the five-year average. Almost 3/4 of the corn crop was in or beyond dent stage, over 2 weeks ahead of the previous year and 1 week ahead of average. The crop seems to be speeding towards maturity with 11% of the crop mature, 18 days ahead of last year and 6 days ahead of average. Corn condition rated 45% good to excellent, a drop of 5 percentage points from the previous week and the lowest level since the week ending October 20, 2013. Soybean setting pods were over 2 weeks ahead of last year and 4 days ahead of average at 96%. Soybeans coloring reached 29%. That is the highest percentage of soybeans coloring by August 30 since 2012. Soybean condition fell again this week with the crop now rated 50% good to excellent, the lowest level so far this season. Alfalfa hay third cutting was 86% complete, almost 3 weeks ahead of last year and 11 days ahead of the five-year average. Pasture condition fell 7 percentage points this week to just 16% good to excellent. Many cattlemen have had to begin supplemental feeding of hay due to deteriorating pasture conditions. For the USDA NASS Upper Midwest Regional Field Office, this is Melissa Couch.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Last week's weather was hot and dry in Illinois. Temperatures averaged 3.8 degrees above normal and ranged from 1 to 6 degrees above average across the prairie state. Rainfall averaged just over 1/10 of an inch for the week compared to 8/10 normally. There was an average of 6.9 days suitable for field work last week, topsoil moisture supplies declined to 12% very short, 40% short, and 48% adequate. The Illinois corn crop has reached the dent stage or beyond on 71% of acres, compared to 43 1 year ago and 67 for the 5 year average. 12% of acres are now mature compared to 13% normally. The condition of the Illinois corn crop declined and was rated 7% very poor to poor, 23% fair, and 70% good to excellent. Soybeans in Illinois are setting pods on 97% of acres, compared to 83% last year and 94% normally. Soybean conditions were reported as 6% very poor to poor, 22% fair, and 72% good to excellent. That is slightly worse than 1 week earlier. Growing degree days accumulated since May 1 are above normal in all areas of Illinois. The drought monitor from the University of Nebraska, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and the USDA shows 42% of Illinois is abnormally dry as of August 25. An additional 4% of the state is experiencing moderate drought conditions. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Lofta, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office. Dry conditions in northern Minnesota allowed for significant advancement of wheat harvest progress. There were 5.5 days suitable for field work. Other field activities included harvesting corn for silage and cutting hay. Rain in central Minnesota slightly increased the statewide topsoil moisture condition to 3% very short, 11% short, 77% adequate, and 9% surplus. Corn had reached the dough stage or beyond on 97% of acres, remaining well ahead of last year and 9 days ahead of the 5 year average. Corn acreage was 63% at or beyond the dent stage, that's 16 days ahead of last year and 5 days ahead of average. There were scattered reports of corn starting to mature. Corn harvested for silage reached 15% complete, that's 19 days ahead of last year and 1 week ahead of average. Corn condition dropped to 79%, good to excellent, its lowest rating so far this year. Soybeans were 25% turning color, that's 10 days ahead of last year and 3 days above average. Scattered accounts of soybeans dropping leaves were reported. Soybean condition dropped to 80%, good to excellent, tying the lowest rating this year. Nearly one-third of the spring wheat acres were harvested last week, advancing the total progress to 85% complete. This was 17 days ahead of last year and 1 day ahead of average. The oat and barley harvests were nearly finished at 94% and 95% complete, respectively. Pasture condition decreased to 57%, good to excellent. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Bob Guarino with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Missouri experienced slightly warmer than average temperatures and near normal rain last week. The heaviest rain was in southeast Missouri, where some areas received over 3 inches. Topsoil moisture supply in Missouri was rated 4% very short, 31% short, 64% adequate, and 1% surplus. 97% of corn was in the dough stage, 2 points ahead of the 5 year average for this time of year. 83% of corn was in the dent stage, 6 points ahead of average. 7% of corn was reported mature, 14 points behind average. Corn condition was rated 2% very poor, 3% poor, 18% fair, 61% good, and 16% excellent. 96% of soybeans were blooming, 2 points ahead of average. 88% of soybeans were setting pods, 8 points ahead of average. Soybean condition was rated 1% very poor, 4% poor, 20% fair, 62% good, and 13% excellent. 80% of cotton was setting bulls, 14 points behind average. Cotton condition was rated 2% very poor, 12% poor, 36% fair, 49% good, and 1% excellent. Rice was 92% headed, 3 points behind average. Rice condition was rated 1% very poor, 6% poor, 28% fair, 49% good, and 16% excellent. This is Bob Guarino with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service.
And I'm Todd Gleason from Illinois Extension. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates from across the Corn Belt. On this Tuesday, let's check the agricultural energies with Harry Cooney, as we do once a month. He is with GrowMark out of Bloomington, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Harry. Thanks for being with us today.
Well, good afternoon, Todd, on this rainy Tuesday afternoon. It's a kind of good to be able to say that.
Yeah, it is good to be able to say that. Hey, can you tell me what has changed since I talked to you last month?
Well, I think the main feature in the energy complex was the hurricanes that came into the Gulf there a week ago. That was the big feature. And the hurricanes started to stir up price a little bit, mostly on the gasoline market. However, much of that strength has receded as the hurricanes came ashore. And fortunately, this time, they didn't really cause a lot of big-time damage to the refineries or the energy infrastructure down along the Gulf Coast. Many other times in history, they have caused some damage when a storm comes in. But this one, or both of them, I guess, the one kind of fizzled out a little bit, but the main one that came in didn't really cause much damage. So that's why the markets were able to recede from their peak they made here just before the hurricane on the fears that there might be some problems. But also, the inventory of diesel and gasoline is over the five-year average because of the virus in part. And that's what muted the response on the upside when the hurricanes were even coming in originally. Normally, if we would have had stocks on the lower end of the historical range, definitely we probably would have had more of a response on the upside than we did.
What are your expectations going forward for the next month or so?
Well, I think the expectations are that we'll probably try to have some rallies, but they probably won't go very far because of these overhanging stocks. That's good. Having large stocks is good, though, as we get into the harvest season, which is nearly upon us in some areas. That's good. So keep your tanks or get your tanks on the upper end. I think you've done that on previous recommendations from us and through our local FS member cooperatives. It's still important to make sure to have the tanks full of not just diesel fuel, but also propane as you get ready to go into the heating season or the drying season. It looks like it'll be more of a normal season this year for harvest compared to last year, but there'll still be some grain drying needs out there, and definitely make sure to have that first fill in the tank. It sure helps the supply situation a lot more.
This is, I take it, because propane is, and it's not that it's not available, it's just out of place still?
Right. With the propane has been a little tight in the Midwest earlier in the summer. However, late in the summer, the builds in the Midwest came on real good. We'll probably peak in the Midwest just slightly under the five-year average in stocks.
What are your expectations for the end of the year?
The end of the year, I think you will be looking at some dips in liquid fuel prices. I think that historically you have about Thanksgiving to Christmas to Valentine's area is traditionally a valley in prices, a dip in prices. Now, whether propane follows that or not, we'll have to see. Have to see how the wintertime weather is. But in liquid fuel, there tends to be a seasonal dip there in that Thanksgiving, Christmas, Valentine's period. But then that's the time to reload for next year.
Is the energy industry worried about COVID-19 going through the fall and into the early winter?
Oh, I think so. I definitely think so. And that's why you have crude here. You have crude sitting at $42. You have gas and diesel. Look at even the pump prices of gasoline. I mean, I think that's still having an impact on them. Various avenues of the demand picture have definitely been hit. And now the over-the-road trucking industry and the diesel, no, it wasn't hit as much. You know, I mean, the trucks continued to move. I think gasoline demand gets hit the most when there's major outbreaks like we saw earlier this year or when you're at stay-at-home rules, I should say. Not saying we're going to go back to that, but I think gasoline gets hit a little more than diesel fuel.
Is there expectation that gasoline usage will come up in the fall as we begin to move around a bit more with the opening of the school year?
Well, it's already come up considerably. When you look at gasoline demand, probably most summers would peak out at 9.5 million barrels a day. And if you look at the dip that went down into March and April, the lows were probably maybe 4.5 or 5. The recent numbers have been back up around 9 to 9.2. So they've come back considerably. I mean, that's already recovered. And price is still where it's at, you see. And I think part of that function is because of the overhanging stocks out there.
Hey, Harry, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Harry Cooney is with GrowMark. He is in Bloomington, Illinois. Now let's turn our attention to the weather forecast. Don Day is with us. He's at Day Weather, though he's not in Cheyenne, Wyoming today. He is, well, I don't know exactly where are you today, Don?
Well, I'm in northern Arizona in a little town called Page, which is right near the Utah border south of Lake Powell.
And you're there. I know what you're up to, which is really cool. So for those who are David Blaine fans, the magician, they'll know that he is about to take a balloon ride, kind of like Up, which is all the balloons. And I don't know how far up he's planning to go, a long ways. But you, I know in the past when we've talked, you've done things with Red Bull. You do some things with NASA as it's related to balloons and weather casting for them. And this morning you had to make a unfortunate go-no-go call. And you're telling me, I think, that tomorrow David Blaine will do his new ascension. Is that right?
That's correct. The cold front that came in over the last couple of days across the northern Rockies and Plains states, cooling off everybody, got into this part of the region as well and caused too much wind. But that wind should be gone by tomorrow, and right now it looks like a go for Wednesday morning.
All right. So do we have a time yet? There are a rough time?
It'll be roughly, because you can't schedule these things exactly on launches, but it'll be roughly around 8 Pacific time.
And so you'll be making the go-no-go, but you'll be helping, I assume, as he makes his ascension and on the way up. And
that is correct. My job's not over till everything's on the ground.
All right. Well, good luck with that. Now, let's turn our attention to the weather forecast here, because finally there is a little rainfall. I can see that in the state of Illinois. Can you tell me about these showers?
Yeah, this is part of a large trough that came out of northwest Canada and is going to be basically this trough coming on through here over the next 48 hours. And it's going to produce a good swath of widespread, mainly light to moderate rain across many areas of the Midwest and Corn Belt before it slinks off to the south and east later tomorrow. I don't think amounts are going to be spectacular, but the coverage of showers will be pretty good over most of the Corn Belt.
What's the weather forecast look like for next week?
Well, you know, we're going to see some ups and downs. We're definitely changing weather patterns. The weather pattern is likely going to be some periods like we have now, cooler weather with some showers followed by warmer, drier conditions, and we see that developing. This trough will move out. Some high pressure will build in for the second half of the week and the weekend. Labor Day week, we see another one of these troughs, kind of similar to what we're experiencing now, coming in towards the middle of next week, and the results will be the same. Cooler weather will be coming on in, and there'll be some shower activity. The system that's coming next week is going to have a fair amount of cool air with it. So we could see temperatures get pretty cool across the northern plains and into the Great Lakes.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And if you get a chance, let David Blaine know that my 24-year-old, when I told him you were involved in this, said, "That's so dope. I appreciate it."
I'll pass it along.
Thank you so much. Don Day is with Day Weather. He is out of Cheyenne, Wyoming.